Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2023 superhero sequel, Shazam! Fury of the Gods, starring Zachary Levi, Helen Mirren, and Lucy Liu, where three fallen gods seek to take the powers of Billy Batson and his gang of orphaned superheroes in order to take revenge for the destruction of their world. But before we get into that, just a reminder, we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off.
You got to whisper with me because you're the only person here.
Face off.
Thank you.
No worries.
That's where I'm at. AMSR. Listeners.
So on to Shazam! Fury of the Gods. The original Shazam! Was a solid hit. It got positive reviews and made a ton of money and seemed to be liked by pretty much everyone who watched it. However, this sequel has pretty much been dead on arrival. Hated by critics and majorly underperforming at the box office. Hell, even finding a third person to guest on this episode was impossible because nobody wanted to go watch it. So my question is, why the decline in enthusiasm for this franchise? And does it deserve more love than it's getting?
Is it, how did the first one do? Like, what was the
first one was a big hit. I think it made like $500 million. Like it was a solid hit.
Like,
well regarded.
Yeah.
Solid hit.
Well, as far as swap ratings, we gave it glowing applause, I believe. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It was like at the top of like all of our lists. Like we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. It's still on my top 10. What happened, right? Because this one was not as good. But also, I feel like I've seen a lot of like things going on about like the DC universe and like shifts and then like what is it? What's his name? The Rock? What's his actual name? Dwayne Johnson. It has like sort of like dicked over the franchise and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that the DCEU kind of collapsing in on itself has definitely tempered enthusiasm for this film. I think also, even though it's not really fair, but kind of the decline in quality of the Marvel movies kind of has leaked onto this and people are just feeling a bit of superhero fatigue overall, I feel. But it's such a shame because the original Shazam was a genuinely fun movie and it's a bit annoying that like everyone's just kind of forgotten that and now it's like there was just zero enthusiasm for this movie. Like I was excited that there was going to be another Shazam movie. I know we were all excited when it was announced.
Yeah, so like I even got Katrina, my wife, to watch the first one in sort of like a lead up to this one. So
does it deserve more love than it's getting though, or do you think
this one isn't that good?
Yeah, I mean, we watched it a week and a bit ago at the cinemas, and I think while I was watching it, I didn't mind it so much, but the more and more I reflected on it, the less I liked it. I think it does lose, where it has lost a lot of what made the original special.
Yeah.
And I know that we're biased because this is a Body Swap podcast, but it was the Body Swap that made that first movie good, because it took that big premise, like the Tom Hanks movie Big, and shoved it in a superhero kind of format. And that kind of mixture was really fun.
Yeah, and you have that, like, something very relatable, like to think of, like, a child getting to have that wish fulfillment of being a superhero.
Yeah.
Is just sort of lacking from this second one. Like, I can't we're doing a Body Swap podcast. I feel like we see the difference, like the change between the two characters. What, like three minutes of the film is in total him as Billy Batson, and then the rest of the time he's Shazam, really? Like,
yeah, we hardly spend any time with him as Billy. And the other thing is, when he is Billy, he's not acting like Shazam at all. Like, the whole Body Swap aspect, where Shazam is actually supposed to be acting like Billy because they're the same person, is completely lost. He's all, like, carefree and jokey and quippy as Shazam, but when he's at Billy, none of that is there.
No.
He's kind of stern and, like, telling off his friends, and it's a real missed opportunity, because that was what made this franchise special, and it's kind of gone away. And there's a lot of interesting things, like ideas in this film, that aren't really fleshed out enough. I think the main kind of emotional thrust of the film is Billy. He has created this group of friends, and like they all become superheroes together. But now they've all got their own lives and they're all going and doing their own thing. And he's just desperately trying to keep them together but he can see that he's just losing control of it. And that has some real, like, heft to it as an idea.
Yeah, as an idea. This kid is, you know, a bit abandoned by his parents. And you can see that fear that this new family that he, you know, holds dear is, you know, he's sort of losing that grasp of being, like, tight knit as everyone's, you know, going off and doing their own thing. And that would like trigger him to be like, oh no, I'm losing my family again, you know? So yeah, I feel like there was, like, great ideas here, but I'm not sure where it all went wrong. And there were some really cool, like, sequences, like the opening sequence. I was sort of like, oh cool, this is already, like, a fun time.
I was never bored watching this film, but it's just on reflection, I'm like, oh, this could have been so much better. Like, it's just a wasted opportunity, which is frustrating. It does a really good thing that it highlights the character of Freddy, his best friend, which I think we all knew.
Thought, like, was one of the highlights of the first film, for sure.
Yeah. But then they kind of put him in this romance that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I was never really rooting for them as a couple. It didn't really feel that believable overall, but it takes up so much of the film. Like, the film almost is more interested in these villains and this romance than it is in the characters.
Shazam.
Like, Shazam and his family. Like, I really was hoping this was going to be a film about Shazam and all his kind of adopted brothers and sisters all learning to be superheroes together. And it really wasn't. They were very secondary. They were hardly in it. The times they are in it is wasted on, like, one of the worst product placements I've seen in a film in a long time. The film stops to become a Skittles ad, which is very frustrating. Did you enjoy the villains, though? Seeming they got so much of the screen time. So it's like the daughters of Athena?
Yeah.
Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Rachel Ziegler from West Side Story. Did you enjoy their kind of plot in this?
Not really.
What didn't work about it for you?
Just this sort of, like, sibling rivalry. Like, that like just saying those words, it's like, oh, surely you could have found a way to make like three sisters having like this conflict sort of transfer over to this family of like, yeah, but none of that is connected in any way. Whenever we're like going to these stories of like mysticism and you're dealing with like literal gods and going into their stories, like how disinteresting is it to be involved in the lives of gods? Like how irrelevant when you're talking about things like, oh, we need to plant a tree and it's gonna give us things and powers. And it's like such I guess like things beyond actual like things that you can connect to as a human, you know what I mean? Like
yeah because if you're going to be dealing with these world ending stakes, make us care about the people in the world so at least we have some stake in the game.
But yeah, like a romance between like a teenage boy and a 6,000-year-old god just really wasn't doing it all that much for me.
Yeah, especially since she like falls in love with him so easily. Like you think he lived for 6,000 years. A guy standing up to a couple of bullies in a schoolyard isn't going to be what like impresses you. How much would have you seen in 6,000 years?
But I guess like gods are all like self-righteous dickheads. And so it's like, oh, this guy's, you know, I don't know, he's different. I was glad that she turned out to be a villain because I was just like, wow, like this is just really laying it on thick. This like sort of dream girl who like likes the nerdy guy who gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, what's the biggest wish fulfillment there, like turning into superheroes or that? So should I attempt to do a 30-second
summary? Yeah, of course.
For all the people that have been listening to this and going, what the fuck are they talking about? And you know what? After this plot summary, they will know exactly
what's going on. Because
it was so, it will be so clear and concise and they will know every part of the plot after I get through it. No, I won't. So let's do the 30-second plot summary where I try to sum up the plot of Shazam! Fury of the Gods in 30 seconds on the fly.
You ready?
No, but go anyway.
Go.
Billy and his family, they're rescuing people and then these gods are awakened and they get the staff that he broke in half in that last movie and they want to use it to take the powers of all of Billy and all his family so that they can restore their own powers because their world was taken away and they want to plant a tree that will terraform our Earth into their world. And then they fight a bit and then they plant the tree and then all these monsters come. Well, that's it. I got most of the way there.
Wait, wasn't that like the same plot of like the Superman film that they were trying to terraform the Earth to be like planet Krypton and stuff?
Ah, the Zack Snyder Superman, Man of Steel. Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? But in this time, the terraforming creates like a whole bunch of like evil unicorns.
Classic
and
Dungeons
Cyclops.
And Dragons characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that's carried over from the last film, like that kind of made the Shazam film a bit distinctive is that it wasn't afraid to do some like straight up like horror sequences and like fully scary monsters. I don't know if this time I felt that dread so much in this one. Like the first movie, there was that boardroom sequence that was genuinely creepy.
Thrown out of the windows and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The monsters this time around didn't feel as menacing to me. They are the wooden dragon that Lucy Liu rides around was pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like our standards for dragons have really like gone up a notch since Game of Thrones, you know?
So you think that Game of Thrones is like the high standard for dragons?
For dragons, I don't know. For like dragon concepts. Yeah, sure. Why not?
My heart will always be with Toothless in How to Train Your Dragon. So we have this kind of dynamic between the three villain sisters where they are fighting between each other on like what's right and what's wrong and what to do in this situation. Do you think these characters would have been written the same way if there were three dudes?
Oh.
Because I was kind of feeling like, what is this film saying? Like, you got these three all-powerful women and you just had to make them, like, bickering, like, nags between each other, like, who can't make a decision and can't actually lead effectively.
I was thinking it was more like watching women talking, like how they, like, really had to, like, you know, break it down and discuss the different aspects of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, except in this one, they're like fucking maiming each other.
They're always stabbing each other, yeah.
Now, if women talking went in that direction, maybe I would have liked them more.
If they all had knives out the entire time they're in the circle.
See, that would have been great. Then it would have deserved its best adapted screenplay Oscar if it did that.
Yeah, that's called adaptation.
Yeah, adaptation. You know, there was no knives in the original book, so.
But no, I don't know. Like, they're gods. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, I think that's sort of the classic idea of gods and stuff is like there's this like melodrama constantly playing out, you know, and that's like. I don't know, supposed to be people peace. I don't know. It's like, oh, the reason like my crops didn't grow this year is because Zeus is pissed at, you know, Athena. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
Religion's so stupid.
But like, yeah, I find the, like, the whole like magic thing. Just such a like. How do you figure out what's going on? Like, is someone in trouble? Is this a fair like matchup? You know what I mean?
Well, like the whole last hour of this film is just like a CGI laser beam bullshit, like that every superhero film goes on to, where like you don't feel the stakes because you don't know what the fuck's going on half the time, and. Also, like, nothing feels real or tangible in any way.
Like, when you're in this, like, this universe, like, where's... Because we've seen there's, like, Superman, like, Wonder Woman makes an appearance in this one. Like,
yeah,
they're all out there, and there's, like, a giant dome that's taken over an entire, like county. Why isn't anyone coming to help out poor old Shazam, you know?
Yeah.
Why is that only on his shoulders? What's the degree? You know how like it's like everything always takes place in Metropolis or like Gotham City. Like, do they just have like their borders and they're like, I can't cross over there. That's Shazam's territory.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Philadelphia could go fuck itself. I'm staying in Metropolis.
They're being eaten by fucking Pegasus.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is that because the DCEU is completely being restructured, we'll never get an answer to this. Like, we might have gotten a fun answer, like, in the next Wonder Woman movie where we see that she was actually fighting somewhere else or whatever, but there's not going to be another Wonder Woman movie, and there's not going to be another Henry Cavill Superman. The new Superman movies will be in a completely different universe than this, so... And I think that's another reason why people might have not cared about this, because they knew that it had no effect on any other movies going forward.
Like, yeah, they like really made a point to let people know that.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, come see this movie. Remember, it doesn't count at all. And it's a waste of time. Go and see it. Have a good time.
But remember when we used to all go watch movies that had no connection to future movies and we were all fine with that? It didn't have to be a prerequisite for like, I have to watch this one so I can watch this one.
Did you enjoy Pedro's coming out? Like, was that at least like
handled well?
Or were you sort of annoyed at the whole like, yeah, we all know like and it's no big deal.
Look. Like, they kind of already, it was clear he was gay in the first movie. And then in this one,
they really leaned into it as a joke kind of thing.
Yeah, but if you're not going to give him a gay storyline, then don't fucking bother. give him a romantic interest. Give him something that, there is nothing. We find out he's gay and then he does nothing else for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, give him, a 1,000-year-old, god to, have a relationship with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Call me by your name.
yeah. So it just felt a bit half-assed. I'm still waiting for my proper gay-ass superhero. I guess Brian Tyree Henry in The Eternals. Did you watch The Eternals?
No.
Don't bother. It's okay. It's the
delete it from my list.
I know you were about to watch it tonight, but so that one had an actual superhero character with a husband. They live together. You know, it's just too bad he was boring and the movie was boring.
Was it because it was just watching a gay couple and then he'd fly out the window? And you'd see all these battles going on outside.
Well, it was basically they go to his house and they're like, we're reforming the team. So they go to his house and he's there with his husband, you have to come with us now. And then he's like, okay, bye, husband. So, you can't ever have them, you can't have two gay characters that stay around and interact with each other for the majority of the film. That'd be too gay.
Is there a gay icon superhero character?
I don't want to quote me on this, but
gayest superhero.
One of the iterations of Superman was bi in a recent run of Superman memory. Yeah, so I feel like maybe Superman.
I feel like isn't like
Deadpool is bi as well. I'm pretty sure.
Right. I feel like is it Hulk's son or something like that. I feel like he's gay, maybe.
Possibly.
Surely there's a list.
Are you still researching gay superheroes?
Yeah. Takes me to a lot of different sets. Hulkling. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's I think the son of nobody cares.
Yeah. Any other notes on this film?
This film? What are we talking about?
Gay superhero.
The movie. I feel like we've sort of said it a couple of times, but I think it's just generally worth mentioning. The first one, there was just so much joy in enjoying the family. And mm-hmm. Even though I love Adam Brody, the people playing the Shazams, mm-hmm. Superhero, versions and stuff are all great. And I enjoy their, the shtick. I really would have loved to have spent more time with them as the kids again, as the family.
Yeah.
And so that was just a real bummer because, Darla? She was lovely in the first one, adorable. And when she's had grown up a bit, she was a little less attached kind of thing. And it would have been fun to spend, time with her besides, like you said, some Skittles advert where she's feeding unicorns Skittles to ride into battle and stab people and stuff like that,
It is unfortunate. Mm. And I feel like the franchise is dead now. I don't think it's going to come back at this point. So, R.I.P. Shazam. we should probably talk about... That's been talked about to death.
The fact that The Rock Johnson ruined this film?
Oh, and Zachary Levi throwing everyone under the bus and everyone hating on him now. That's all very boring. They can just look up a fucking article.
Leave that in. Because I didn't know about it until I looked it up. Because I was like, oh, I thought like the whole point of introducing Black Adam was the fact that him and Shazam are like, you know, sort of.
Have you watched Black Adam?
No.
I love this look of disgust that you have when I ask you if you watch these superhero movies.
But like, why would I waste my time? I have such little time for movies.
Maybe you're a secret Noah Centineo fan. I was actually going to
know who this name means.
I was actually going to go watch it just for Noah Centineo, and then I found out he's less in the movie for less than 5 minutes. I'm like, I can't. Not for that.
So your love of The Rock didn't make it?
Yeah, I wouldn't go watch a movie just for The Rock, but I would watch a movie just for Noah Centineo. So I think that says a lot about me. Are you looking up Noah Centineo?
No, I'm still looking at gay superheroes.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
Are they a dude or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
It's a little bit easier doing it with two people, but I'm sure it's still sound awful. All right, so this is a complicated one. How did we? Did you listen to our previous Shazam review?
No. I assume we friend-o-foed the kids, right? And then we talked about how hot they all were as Shazams.
Is that morally right? Because technically the characters are still children. Still children. They just have the bodies of adults.
Well, in this movie, I feel like they made the decision to make it okay, because they have like a 6,000-year-old person dating a teenage boy, and they're just like, we've pointed it out, so it's okay. We've gone, isn't this weird?
All right, let's do it then. Let's go all in. You know, I think a lot of these are probably going to be the same as last. Zachary Levi is Shazam. He's a hot. He's got to be a hot.
Surely. Oh, but his hair's thinning. I feel you, Zachary. I'm in there with you, man. I feel like my powers are thinning as my hair thins.
Look, he still looks great, though. He hasn't aged that poorly.
Nah, he's doing all right.
He's doing more than all right. Apparently, he's an anti-vaxxer in real life, so I don't know. But he was Chuck.
Even hotter, right? Yeah. Like being dumb?
It's true. I do love
dumb the guy. Dummies.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like really religious and he's anti-vax. Like he must be
hubba,
so dumb.
Hubba.
Nah, you know, Zach, he gets a lifetime pass. You know, he was Chuck. He was Flynn Rider in Tangled. He was the hot doctor in Mrs. Maisel. Like,
and he was Zachary Levi in all of them.
Yeah, so, you know, he gets a lifetime pass for me. So I guess he's a double hot.
Double hot.
We're going to be, like, throwing these out. So Asher Angel as the younger Shazam, are we friend or foeing him?
I guess he saved Philadelphia. Like, he literally died for his like fellow men, and
he died for our sins. Is Shazam Jesus?
Yeah.
Discuss.
I give him a pass.
Yeah, I'm friending him. I think
he's, friend he's away.
He's a great guy. Jack Dylan Grazer as Freddie Freeman, his bestie, definite friend, right? Like, he's the friend we all want.
Like, he is like the like kid in amongst these kids that I'm like, I do hope I see him go on. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would like to see this because I do find his like comic timing genuinely great, and I hope I hope to see him survive this franchise.
Yes. yeah, I totally agree. He was great in this. He was great in the It movies. But as a character, I think he was a really cool guy and very relatable. And I'm going to give him a friend.
Yeah.
Rachel Zegler as Anthea. So this is the 6,000-year-old youngest of the gods. That has a romantic relationship with Freddy. Hot or not?
Oh, we're doing hot or not because she's 6,000 years old. How old is she in real life?
In real life, I believe she is 20. Let me just...
Whatever. She's an attractive woman. It's okay. But like...
She's 22 in real life.
Yeah. All right. Great. I haven't like canceled myself, but I was going to say, like, in this movie, she is sort of a predator.
Yes. She's an old lady that goes to high schools specifically to romance the students.
She runs a honeypot on on a teenage boy.
And then tries to kill their family.
But then she learns it's bad.
Yeah, she does. You know, to her credit.
6,000 years old, you're still learning. Fred.
Yeah. I'm going to give her a heart. She rocked that superhero outfit. She looked stunning while she was doing it. She was great in West Side Story. I know she can carry a tune and do a little dance. So, Adam Brody as the superhero version of Freddy.
Yeah, of course. Adam Brody's a looker. Still a looker. He's getting older, but
yeah, he's still hot. He's very hot.
He's rocking some big manes as well. Like, he's got. Get a head of hair, you know what I mean?
I feel like you're very hair focused.
I just feel like that was the difference between the first one and this one. Is like he had like a, you know, he had a bit more of locks going.
Fun fact, that character, it was actually Elvis's favorite superhero. He was obsessed with that character. So.
What, with Shazam or this particular Shazam?
This particular Shazam, like Shazam Jr. or whatever it was called in the comics, it was like the character that Elvis looked up to, and like even his like logo, he modeled after this character's logo and everything. So, there you go. Lucy Liu as Calypso.
Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu looks great. You cannot say she does not look great.
I've never got the appeal. I was never a big Lucy Liu person. Like Ally McBeal, was she on Ally McBeal?
She was on Ally McBeal.
Oh yes. Yeah. Since Ally McBeal, just never. You know.
She's had so many iconic roles.
Besides Ally McBeal, what else she been in?
Kill Bill, Charlie's Angel. She was a Charlie's Angel, and. This is a travesty. If Lucy was here,
she'd be really annoyed.
Her heart would be breaking in two at you, like dismissing Lucy Liu. Because
they have the same name.
Yes, exactly. Fellow Lucy. Look, this is a travesty. I'm in shock. So I'm going to give her a very much a hot. Even though, I mean, technically she was trying to kill everyone and she was an awful human, well, awful character. But, yeah, you're stunning, Lucy. Helen Mirren as Hespera.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to give, like, she has a very, like, what's the villain? Like, what's the villain from Lord of the Rings?
Which villain?
Like, the villain.
Saruman.
Yeah, she has a very Saruman vibe in this film, like, her, like, armor and shit. Like, it's not sexy, like, you know, sci-fi armor. I'm not going to say she was, like, hot stuff in this film.
Yeah, she's definitely looked hotter in other movies.
Yeah.
And you got to give the film credit for that, at least. Like, some of these, like, sexy armors that they put women in these superhero films are just so ridiculous, like, including Wonder
Yeah, this
Woman.
This armor actually looks like it would, like,
protect
stop
you.
Something. Except they're all, like, their arms are, like, wide open. Like, they could totally have their arms cut off. But nothing's going through that neck or chest. Yeah.
I'm not going to go through every other fucking character in this film. There's so many fucking characters. I do have to say, like, Marta Milans as Rosa the mum. She's a stunning woman, but I don't know if I believe her as this character. Like,
what
she
do you mean?
Looks like... She's just so well put together.
She's too beautiful to have ended up in this lifestyle.
Yes.
Like, she's you the sort agree? Of pretty where, like, she would have just fell upwards into some sort of, like, marketing role in some company.
She's not the person that ends up with, like, 10 orphan children.
But like, she's, like, a good person. Despite the, like, having like every dude trying to bang her that she's come across, she somehow still ended up with morals and, you know, been super hot at the same time. That's amazing. She's an amazing person.
She is. It's too amazing almost. Like, these kind of people don't exist.
This is what comic books were written for.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as someone that's that hot and that good of a person? I feel like being hot makes you a bad person in some way. Like, don't you agree? Like, no one can be that hot and that good.
And that's why when someone's like, you're a really good guy, Paul, you're like, fuck you.
No one's ever accused me of that. They're like, I get it. I get why you're so nice. Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Shazam, Fury of the Gods, from across the interwebs. So this one's from Mama on Letterboxd, who gives it 2 stars, and they say, no, I don't have superhero movie fatigue. I have bland, generic, ugly-looking superhero movies not trying to do anything artistic or interesting fatigue, and I'm fucking exhausted. Are you on that page? Have you officially got superhero fatigue, Brendan?
If my replies to you asking me, have you watched X superhero film has made you, you know, wonder, let me just say, I can't be fucked with any superhero. Like, yeah, I can't.
So there's no upcoming ones that you would be like, oh, I'll definitely watch that?
I don't think so. Can you name one that might be exciting?
Deadpool 3?
No, I'm all right.
Yeah, I can't think of any others. Yeah, like I watch every fucking Marvel movie, every DC movie. Well, actually, I've missed a couple of the DC ones, but I watch every Marvel one. But at this point, it's more out of obligation than anything. Like,
who are you obligated to?
Myself. Uh-huh. Like, I'm a completist. Once I start things, it takes a lot for me to quit them. And then, like, it's not like, apart from, like, The Eternals and maybe half of Wakanda Forever, I do genuinely enjoy these movies. But, yeah, there have been a couple of rough ones, so.
Yeah.
All right, and finally we have Brandon Stressenig, who gives it 0.5 star, and he says, I bring out star ratings for special occasions like these because this is truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I'd give my life in exchange for movies to stop looking like Windows 98 screensavers and sounding like Deadpool. Nothing is harder to watch than one actor really trying to give a performance when everyone else is jerking off in the background. Poor Rachel Ziegler. Zachary Levi says fam in this with all the charisma and magnetism of a youth pastor 3 years away from being cancelled. A vote for me as president is a vote for the permanent ban on superhero bullshit until we figure out what the hell's going on. And I think that sums up why this film flopped to the box office. Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that's linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started, because I'm sure you're still working out what yours is going to be. My connection is your fave, Lucy Liu, who has done a lot of iconic roles. But this one, she was only one of the supporting actresses in, but she does a really good job in it. And it's the 2018 Netflix rom-com, Set It Up. Have you seen Set It Up?
No.
And I suspect you probably never will.
Until we do another
tenuous swap,
yeah. You make me.
But I have to say, as far as Netflix rom-coms go, this is like top tier. And in terms of like rom-coms in general that have come over the last like 5 to 10 years, I would put this on the top tier. It's actually a genuinely fun movie. It stars Zooey Deutsch, who I've recommended one of her other movies, Not Okay. Did you end up watching Not Okay?
No, I do want to, though. It is one that I have on my list.
Yeah. So, she's great. And the other lead actor is Glenn Powell, who was one of the pilots in the latest Top Gun movie. He was in Scream Queens. Really talented comic actor. And it's just a really fun rom-com about two assistants. They both are assistants to different like powerful business people. Zooey Deutsch works for Lucy Liu, and Glenn Powell works for Taye Diggs. And then they realize they get treated really badly by their bosses and they never have any free time. And then they realize that if they can set up Lucy Liu with Taye Diggs and make them happy, then it will make their job easier because they'll lay off of them. So it's the two assistants trying to set up their bosses and then in the process of end up falling in love with each other. So
sounds generic.
Yeah, it's really fun though. It's the chemistry between the two leads is great. There's some really funny supporting characters, including Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. You go into a romantic comedy with certain expectations, and this achieves all of them. So Set It Up, free on Netflix. Give it a go. What's yours?
I was going to do a little, like, rather than a film or a TV thing, I was going to recommend a comic. Because so this film has Shazam. The comic I am recommending also has Shazam. It's also got basically everyone in the DC. It's called Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
I never used to read comics. I don't really anymore either. But my sort of entry point into reading comics in the first place was an artist called Alex Ross, who has these amazing like oil painting looking like his style is very much like the golden era of comic books. Like he very much is known for capturing like a very like pinup girl, like sort of a style, but like also using the like the original costumes of the characters and stuff. They're just like amazing like pieces of art in their own right. And so this is like one of the few comic books that he did all the artwork for. Usually he's often like doing like comic covers and stuff like that, just because his style is just so intricate, you know. But yeah, this one, Kingdom Come, he does all the characters, and the premise of the comic is that it's like the future of the DC universe. All the, you know, Justice League have gotten old, like Superman's gray, and the Flash has become so fast that he's not in any one dimension at any one time. He's like sort of this like hovering like light of movement, and Batman's become so like jaded that he has like no trust for anyone else, and he runs like police Gotham with like a bunch of like robot versions of himself because he's so old that he can't do it himself. Yeah, it's just like a really cool concept. It's all about how sort of like getting the band back together, getting the Justice League back together, because all these new metahumans are like out for blood, and he's trying to like sort of bring order back to like Superman, sort of trying to bring back order back to things, and Captain Marvel, which is Shazam's name, if anyone didn't know, until like legal battles between Marvel and stuff like that happen, is like being controlled by Lex Luthor, and they have to like duke it out and stuff. It's a really cool comic series, and I think one that's worth a read, and at least looking at some of the artwork of Alex Ross. So, Kingdom Come.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put Shazam, Fury of the Gods, on our list? Yeah, I think I'm going to put it in between Here Comes the Bride and Possessor. Two films that have literally nothing to do with this film.
Well, mine is in a similar space. Mine's between Avatar, The Way of Water, and Avatar.
Okay.
I think it's because this movie was bad, but I love the characters more than I do Avatar. But the Avatar, Where the Water, was just, I don't know, like, because of the whole, like, effects of it were more impressive, I think.
And you love Spider so much that...
Yeah, I love Spider. He's my favorite.
Everybody loves Spider. All right. So, next episode, hopefully we can wrangle a third person in. They won't have to go to the cinemas this time, so it might be a bit easier. We're going to go back to the promise we made two episodes ago, and before our plans changed, and review 2017's In Control, where four university students hook up to a machine allowing them to become one of their fellow students, allowing each of them to party as one of the rich and beautiful. So, should be interesting.
Rich and beautiful? Party?
I like those things. Yay! Until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
And I was Brendan Levi. Poof! Now I'm super Brendan Levi. And I look exactly the same because I'm my peak self.
I thought so. All right. Thanks for listening. See you. Bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.